All right, we're so excited. God has a great plan for each of our lives, and sometimes we miss out on some of that plan because, you know, things just don't go according to plan all the time, does it? I mean, you know, how many thought you'd maybe be where you are right now? Probably not a lot of us, you know, because things change and we have to be able to navigate those changes. And with that, we're looking at our series talking about by faith, and we're going to look today at flint-like faith. And you know, I found in life that, you know, faith is very important. We have the faith, you know, of Christianity, and then we need to walk by faith, we need to live by faith, we need to trust in a God that we can't see, that he's going to move mountains in our life, and he's going to bring us to the place that we need to be. And along the way, stuff happens. And so I found that we need to have unwavering faith no matter what the circumstances. Because one thing that you and I are going to experience in life is circumstances. Circumstances change along the way, and we have to be able to adapt and to be able to overcome. You know, we live in a world that is constantly trying to undermine our faith. Everything that, you know, is being promoted, you know, through the world system is trying to take our eyes off Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And see, what happens is the enemy, meaning the devil, wants us to turn back from our destiny, because God has a destiny for each and every one of us. I hope you understand the fact that nobody is an accident, right? Not one person is an accident. You are here on purpose. God has a plan for you. And I found that the walk of faith is not an easy walk, but it's a rewarding walk, especially when you get to the other side. And, you know, like I've always said, you know, sometimes there's a time lapse in life between the time you say amen and there it is. You know what I mean? You're praying for something, you say amen, but then it doesn't materialize quickly as I want. But when it does, you know, we see that reward, that God is a God who honors our prayer. And that's exciting. So it's a walk that has eternal rewards. Our scripture we're going to look at, we're going to a couple, three scriptures today. I've never really preached on this in this angle before, so I'm kind of excited about it. But Isaiah 50, verse 7, and it says, "For the Lord God helps me, therefore I am not disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, just to be here today, Lord, we thank you that we have world overcoming faith residing inside of us. And Lord, you have given each of us a measure of faith. And Lord, it is up to us to try to develop that faith and to have it grow and to be stronger so that we can not deviate from the plan or the path that you have for us, Lord. Lord, I yield to the gift you've given me. I use it for your glory. And Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now this passage here in Isaiah 50 is talking about Jesus. It's talking about some of the things and getting ready that how determined he was to get to where he needed to be. And we're going to look at that here in a moment. But the word that kind of keyed in there is the word flint. Now, flint is a rock, and it's dark, fine-grained, hard silica used for blades of tools. And flint, when struck together on hard surfaces, produces a spark and was used for lighting fires. So flint, early, now we don't use it so much now, it's more of an ornamental thing, but flint, you know, back in the pioneer days, and even before that, you know, flint was used. I mean, it was used for weapons. It could be broken and since and made sharp edges to use for a knife. We know that the early settlers, many of them used flint rock rifles, and they would, you know, use that because that flint would spark and would light the gunpowder and how it was used as a weapon. So to me, you and I have flint-like faith, and it's a weapon that we use in our life. You know, we have to have the kind of faith that it's a lethal weapon against the devil, because it's a faith that will not be unsettled. It's a faith that's not going to stop halfway there. It's a faith that's going to get to the other side. And that's the kind of faith that you and I have. See, the more pressure the devil applies to our life, the stronger our faith becomes, because we just think these attacks are just going to, you know, take us out of our game and put us down and knock us out for the count. But if we hold on, just hold on, because I know people are going through things right now. A lot of people are going through things. But all I can say is you just have to hold on. And you hold on to your faith by holding on to Jesus and the promises that he has for us. And our faith will get stronger. See, the devil thinks that when he applies pressure to us, it's going to make us quit. But what it does, pressure makes us stronger, just like when you lift weights, you know. If you don't have resistance, your muscles don't grow, just like with faith. There's resistance in this world. See, back in the early church, the devil thought he did a great thing when he persecuted the church in Jerusalem, but what it did, it scattered them. You know, like them little maple things, you know, that come around in the spring. You ever seen those things? They just get everywhere. And see, when pressure's applied, the wind comes, those maple things just go everywhere. And that's what happened to the early church. They'd become somewhat stagnant in Jerusalem, and God used that to spread them all over the area so that churches could spring up everywhere. And so our faith actually gets stronger, and it grows when persecution comes. So I don't wake up every day and say, oh, Lord, I just can't wait for some persecution. But I do say this, Lord, I'm thankful that no matter what comes my way, I am not turning back. I'm going to hold on to you. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they was in the fire, they said, Lord, if you deliver us out, great. But if you don't deliver us, we're still hanging in there. We're still staying strong. And we're still going to follow you. And so we need a weapon in our life that will not fail us or break when we're in battle. I like watching kind of some movies of that genre where, you know, they have sword fights and things like that. And a lot of times if they had, you know, people who had better access, they could get a blade or a sword that was a little bit stronger than the other, and they'd be in a fight, and that was made out of weaker metals and things, that sword would break. And if your sword breaks in battle, you're in a world of hurt. But see, our faith will not break. Flint-like faith will not break. It doesn't matter what weapon the enemy brings against us, but we're hanging on to God, and we're going to see when we wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, against the enemy. You know, we will prevail. And the enemy will have to bow his knee. And so we have to have a faith that will not falter in the thickness of battle. And I do know that battles do come. And I do know that many people are in battles right now. And all I can say, like, again, is this: to hold on to God. And we're standing with you. And another thing, like I mentioned, you know, flint, you know, in the early pioneer days, and they made the guns and things, and they had that flintlock rifle. I like watching Daniel Boone as a kid. You guys probably have to, I don't even think it's around anymore, but you might find it on YouTube or something. But, you know, they have these old, I think his rifle was called Old Betsy. And he had, it would have to light, they put the gunpowder in, and then they would cock it, and then they had a piece of flint in there, and when the flint got struck, it would set a spark off. And that spark would light the gunpowder, and it would shoot. And that's how that weapon was used. And so our faith, to me, is like a fire. It might be a little spark, but you know a little spark can start a big fire? Just our little faith sometimes that we have can ignite something around us. It can ignite other people and have other people in our corner. Just us standing and staying strong in the things of God can inspire other people to want to follow God. Now, one thing that kind of hindered, in a sense, these flint rock rifles is sometimes it would rain or it would snow, and it would cause that to kind of malfunction. You know, you heard the old saying, keep your powder dry. You know, some of you guys probably never heard that, but I have. You know, keep your powder dry, because if your powder gets wet, it won't ignite. And see, the thing that we have to understand is that we can't have fair weather faith. You know what that is? Fair weather faith is a faith that only works when things are going our way. It's easy to have faith when we're not under attack. It's easy to have faith when things are going good in our life. But I tell you, faith, we need it at that time, but faith is really made for us when we're under attack, when things aren't going our way, when the storms are blowing, and it just seems like things are going to try to knock us off our game and to put us down. But see, it's that what we take is that faith where we just hold on to God, just like the woman with the issue of blood. Things hadn't gone her way for quite some time. As a matter of fact, she had been through a 14-year ordeal. And, you know, the doctors tried to help her and they couldn't help her. And, you know, and she's out of options, out of money, out of options. But she had a thought. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And it was considered wrong for her to be able to even be in, when she had an issue of blood, she was considered unclean. So it was wrong for her to even be around other people and touching them. But what she did is she went through the crowd and she got to Jesus and she reached down and just touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. That is flint-like faith. That is faith that will not be denied. That is faith that holds on to the promises of God, because inside the hem of that garment was these tassels and these different things that were pictures of the covenant of God, meaning that God's promises and what God would do. And we need to remember the fact that, you know, we have these promises that are written to us in God's word, and he came to reveal those things, and Jesus came. And so we cannot just have fair weather faith. And I know we're going to have problems. I know we're going to stumble. But all I can say is if you stumble, don't stay down. Just keep getting back up. And like I mentioned earlier, talking about, you know, care groups and things like that, our grow groups, you know, that's where you get people in your corner to fight with you. You know, you build relationship, you build fellowship, you build that connection with other believers of like precious faith. And through those, you can build a system, a network of people in your life that's going to help build you up. Because when the storms come, you know, it's difficult to be out there all alone and you feel lonely. And that's when the devil comes in and really plays with our mind. So to me, flint-like faith is not swayed by difficult circumstances. It's not swayed. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens. Because our faith is not in the circumstances. Our faith does not rest in the things that's going on around us. Our faith rests in God, and God changes not. That's why I like that song, Christ Be Magnified, that we just sang. You know, some of the lyrics in there, what it was talking about. I won't bow to idols. I won't bow to anything of this world. And when you magnify something, what do you do? You make it bigger. You make it bigger. And so, especially when you get older, you know what I'm talking about. You need those magnifying glasses. But see, when we make Jesus bigger in our life, it makes our problems smaller. Amen? It's just simple math. It's science, probably. I don't know. It just works. When you make Jesus bigger than anything else, that's when we start to see things start to come our way. And, you know, just to be blunt, I'm kind of that way sometimes. Sometimes we just need to suck it up, fall in line, and march. That's just the way it is. Maybe the answer ain't coming as quick as you want. And all you got to do is just keep fighting. You just fall in line and march and just keep going. How long do you go? You just keep going. It doesn't matter how long you go. You just keep going. Keep believing. You know, we live in a day where people are falling away from God. You know, they misunderstand and they maybe look at things from the wrong perspective, the wrong lens in life. You know what I'm saying? And then they fall away from God. Oh, they say, I believe still, but I just don't want a fellowship. I don't want to go to church. I don't want nobody to tell me about God and stuff like that. And so what it is, they have a misunderstanding of really the core principles of Christianity, which revolves around fellowship and coming together as a body and to be able to worship God. You know, and see, that's the world that we live in. And we need to overcome those things. We can't really bow our knee to those things. And so to me, what I've found in life, and I've, you know, served God quite a few years now since I got saved in 1984. I knew about Jesus growing up, prayed to him every night, didn't really know him, knew about him. But when I came to know him, and through the battles that I have been through in my life, and I've been through some, and I do know that flint-like faith, all we need to know is we just need to take the next step. I really don't know what's going to happen on Friday. I have a few assumptions. But I really don't know for sure. But I do know I have to go through Monday to get to Friday. And I have to go through Tuesday. And then I have to go through Wednesday and Thursday to get to Friday. And so it's like that in our walk with God. Sometimes we just go step by step. All we have to know is the next step. I'm going to take that next step for Jesus. I'm not going to pull back. I'm not going to turn tail and run. I'm just going to follow him with all my heart and just believing that God is going to bring me through to the other side. So to me, flint-like faith is, first, it's unwavering. Like I said, it doesn't matter about the circumstances. Those things change. We know that. We've all been through different things that vary and change from time to time. Number two, flint-like faith is unyielding. Means I'm not going to surrender. I'm not going to surrender no matter what. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to throw in the towel and just say, I quit. You know, I'm not following God no more. And I have seen and witnessed people that have done this. They just quit. You know, and you just wonder, you know, why they would do that. Because we know that the promise is coming. And then the last one is, it's undeniable. So unwavering, unyielding, and undeniable. And undeniable means we will not stop until we get the desired result. You know, I think about the Syrophoenician woman, I think, was what she was. She, her daughter was sick, but Jesus said he only come to the house of Israel. But she said, but Lord, even the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the table. She was willing to say, God, I'm a dog. Will you please just heal my daughter? And Jesus said, he's never found such faith. Never found that kind of faith. That's the simple faith that we have to have. So simple. We just need to go where to go. And that's to Jesus. I know it sounds so simple that some people who are very educated, they struggle with this concept. Most of Christianity is very simple. It's so simple that, you know, anybody can do it. And that's what God wanted. You know, we try to make it harder. We try to say, well, you got to jump through this hoop, that hoop, that hoop, and then you can have it. No. Jesus said you just have to believe. Now, I will say this as a disclaimer. It's not head faith, it's heart faith. There's a difference between knowing about something and actually knowing something, right? I know about certain people, but there's certain people I know. I know my wife. I know my children. I know some of you. I know, not just know about you, even though your reputation precedes you, you know what I'm saying? A few of you, right? Anybody got a reputation, had a reputation? I had one. Now hopefully I have a different reputation. But see, there's a difference between, and this was what did it for me. Because I knew about Jesus up here in my head. I knew an intellectual Jesus. I knew about him. I knew that, you know, he was God's son, and I knew that he died on the cross and things like that, but it wasn't nothing that I had experienced in my heart. And for me, what turned the corner is when I chose to yield my life to him and make him a four-letter word, Lord. when I made Jesus Christ Lord. And the revelation of making Jesus the master of my life changed everything. When you make Jesus master, you no longer have a say. There is no other options, right? If you totally sell out and make him Lord. And that's really the key to getting there. And like I said, the scripture in Isaiah 50 talking about Jesus, you know, as we're coming up on Resurrection Sunday or Easter here in a few weeks, you know, you look at the story and you read the story of everything, you know, that our Lord and Master went through to redeem us from sin. You just think about that and you know that, you know, how they beat him and they plucked his beard out. And they whipped him beyond recognition with a cat of nine tails, which had glass and maybe metal and just would rip flesh away. And then they made him carry a cross. Now, and we know that he had to enlist help because he was beaten so bad, and they engaged a guy to come help carry that cross. But no matter what, Jesus's destiny was to get to that cross on a hill called Golgotha so he could redeem us, and he was not going to let anything get in the way of saving you and I from our sins. He was determined. Matter of fact, the whole issue, the whole thing that he went through was so excruciating when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He actually, it was his flesh, and he did it, you know, I guess to me, he did it to show us something, you know, but it showed the weakness. He showed the weakness of the human nature. He said, Lord, let this pass from me. You know, talking about the cup he was going to drink, which is a cup of suffering. Nobody is thrilled about suffering. But it doesn't matter. He was determined to get to that cross. That's what he had to do. That was his call. You know, we need to find out what our call is and what God is calling us to do, to be able to walk in that pathway, that journey that Jesus Christ has prepared for you and I to go. And, you know, I don't want to make it sound bad. It's the most rewarding thing we're ever going to do in life. The most rewarding thing is to be in the center of God's will. Because I've been on the edge before. Has anybody been on the edge of God's will? I mean, you're still in grace, you know what I'm saying? But he's getting way out in mercy land almost. You know, he's just, you know, kind of that way. And kind of missing God. But yet, we want to be back in the center because that's where the good stuff is. So we need to ask ourselves, and what we need to do is, what are some of the obstacles in our life that we need to overcome to get where we need to be? And I'd like you to make a list. You know, take some time today, later on today, and just think about, what are some obstacles that is keeping me from a better relationship with Jesus Christ? What's in the way? Maybe staying up too late at night. Sleeping in. Not getting up to maybe pray or read the word like you want. Or maybe not coming to church because you stayed up too late. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe you have some relationships in your life that are detrimental to your relationship with God. They try to pull you back into the old ways. You know, this is your story. I know my story. I know what I have to do. But this is your story, and you need to write it. You need to figure out, you know, the plot, and you need to figure out the conclusion of what you wanted to say in the end. Because after it says the end, there is no more. Right? After the end, it's over. So we need to be able to write that story and know where we want to be. So some things we can do. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be on the alert, stand firm in faith, act like men, be strong. I always like this scripture. You know, to be on ready. I was created for war. I mean, in my own opinion, I'm not a peacetime person. You know, I like battle. I like to fight the good fight of faith. That's kind of my personality a little bit. And so peacetime's kind of rough sometimes, but we're always in a battle here, so I find some stuff to do, I guess. But, you know, here it says to be on the alert, and that means to be in constant readiness. That tells us what we do. Just like the, you know, the 10 virgins in the Bible. Remember about them, what happened to them. You know, five of them were prudent, five were not. All of a sudden, the master came and five were ready and five weren't. You know, we need to be in a constant readiness of what could happen, you know, in our life. And so we need to be aware. And that's talking about, too, about the enemy, you know, the devil, the things that he tries to do in our life. We need to be paying attention all the time. I'll be honest, people, we live in very perilous times. Now, I'm not a negative Nelly. I mean, we live in great times, too. But, you know, the things that are coming at us constantly through audio, through video, through whatever means, it's trying to upset our faith. It's trying to implant doubt. It's trying to implant, you know, the fact that we live in a life of lack instead of a life of glory to God. You know what I'm saying? All these things are going on around us. And if we're not careful, we can easily succumb to those because we let our guard down. See, if you let your guard down, I've only been in a few fights in my life, as far as physical fights, but I do know if you lower your guard, you can take one upside the head, can't you? You know, you can get hit. So we have to be on the alert. Be what's ready. Be what's ready for what's going on around us. Be aware of our situations and our circumstances and the things that, you know, are going on in our peripheral vision there. And to do it. And as well as it says to be on alert, it also says to stand firm. That means to be constant and persevere. You know, don't be a yo-yo Christian. You know what I'm saying? Or a roller coaster Christian. You know, kind of like up 1 minute, down the other. You know, a yo-yo, I mean, you're all of a sudden you're down. Oh, then you're high. You got a woo, mountaintop experience. Yay, Jesus. Then you're down. Oh, man. God, where are you? I'm not going to go back to that church. They don't love me. I'm not doing this. Da, 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 da. You know, and that's being a yo-yo and personality. It's kind of like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, or maybe kind of like, you know, I know some people struggle with mental illness and bipolarism and things like that, where you have your severe highs and you get your severe lows. You know, but we need to be constant in our faith, in walking that walk with God. And to be able to overcome and to be able to walk in the kind of victory that God's called us to do, because we can do it. That's what I like about this. This is not stuff that's not possible. It's not talking about things that, well, only a few can do this. No, this is for each and every person. Each and every one of us can have this kind of life. Last passage I'd like to look at is found in 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. It says, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. There's the word alert again. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in this world. Okay, so just something to remember, you know. I know it's not, you know, maybe the greatest thing, but everybody goes through attacks. It's how we respond to the attack that reveals our inner self. So, don't just think you're the only one. Because we can feel like that, can't we? If you've been under attack for a while, and you look around and you see somebody else and they're smiling. I mean, we don't know what's going on inside of that other person. You only know what's going on inside of you. But everybody, at time to time, will go through a battle. And so the enemy's out there, the devil, and he's going around, and he's always seeking somebody to devour. That's just what he does. That's his job description. The devil's not out there to be your friend. The devil's not out there for us to worship. You know, some people think it's cool to be a Satan worshiper, and they, you know, bought the T-shirt and got the tattoos and everything about it. You know, I think that's the thing to do because they want to be anti-whatever. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we don't have to be devil bait. You know what I'm saying? We don't have to be the prey. And so the enemy's out there, and the devil, he's like some of these predators that you watch on. I like watching some reels, and you see the lions and things chasing animals. It's kind of ugly sometimes, but the lions and stuff usually prey on the weakest animal because it's the easiest to get. So me with my lightning quick intellect, don't be the weakest animal. You're like the old saying, you and your friends out in the woods and there comes a bear, and they say, one friend, you know, the old saying, one says, hey, we can't outrun the bear, and he says, no, I just got to outrun you. Right? The bear's going to take the easiest meal. And see, the devil's going to take the easiest meal. Don't be the easiest meal. You know, I don't think Christians ought to be that tasty for him. You know what I mean? Old devil gets a mouthful of faith, he's going to spit that out. He don't like the taste of that. Just like Paul in the book of Acts, when the seven sons of Sceva, they watched Paul walk in the anointing and the gifts of the Spirit and everything that he was doing. And then he was able to, they tried to copy him and they tried to go cast out demons. Well, they went in there and cast out a demon. And the demon beat the tar out of them. They didn't have the anointing. They didn't have the power to be able to do that. But the devil knew Paul's name. He knew his name and he didn't like him. You know, my hope is the devil knows all our names. And he's in fear. Because he knows that we're people of faith. And we're going to walk, not just walk the walk and talk the talk, but we're going to do it all. We're going to be able to be a fully functioning believer following the master of the universe, Jesus Christ. So how does the devil kind of get us sometimes? Well, we let our guard down, so that's why we got to be on the alert. Something that I've thought about too is that we have to be able to take a punch. Have you ever had to take a punch? Now, don't go home and try this at home. You know, hit each other, something like that, just to see if you can take a punch. But, you know, you can take a punch. Some people, you know, I heard an old evangelist saying that the devil has a big bark, but he has a glass jaw. As soon as you crack him one in the jaw, he goes down. And see, some people can talk big, like a lot of bullies out there. That's what he is a bully. I mean, they talk big and they try to threaten you to try to get you to walk in fear. But you stand up for yourself, crack them in the face, they go down. But see, we need to be people that can take a punch. We don't go down. If we do go down, we get right back up. We need to be able to take a punch because flint-like faith can take a punch and remain standing. That's what we need to do. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at us. We're not going to bow our knee. We're not going to give up. We're going to follow him. I want to understand here something that, you know, the idea that the enemy wants us to fall asleep and away from our post, because we each have a post that we have to watch. You say, what's that? Like a watchman. I mean, if you're a parent, you're a watchman over your children. If you're a husband, you're a watchman over your family, your wife, and things like this. And if whatever the job be, I'm a watchman over this church. But the devil wants us to go to sleep. He tries to get us so preoccupied with the things of this world, it takes our eyes off what we're supposed to be doing. And so we need to be the kind of person that just has that kind of faith that is tenacious. So to me, whether in storm or in sunshine, our faith in God remains the same. I get up no matter what day it is, and my faith in Jesus is the same. Now I want to read something. Maybe you've heard this before or read it. You guys know who John Wesley is, I assume. He was a preacher who was in England, and he's part of the Anglican Church, but then he had a little bit of differing beliefs, and from him is where the Methodist denomination started, the Wesleyan tradition. Now, we know the Methodist denomination has lost its way, and that's why many have seceded from it. But this is a little story about Wesley starting out. I've done street preaching before, and I know it can be a rough deal to do. But, and you know, sometimes you got to go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. But here's his few days of his diary. You know, Sunday morning, May the 5th, preached in St. Anne's, was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday p.m., March the 5th, preached at St. John's, deacon says, get out and stay out. Sunday a.m., May the 12th, preached at St. Jude's, can't go back there anymore either. Sunday p.m., May 12th, preached at St. George's and was kicked out again. Sunday morning, May 19th, preached at St. Somebody Else's, deacons called a special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday night, May 19th, preached on the street, was kicked off the street. Sunday a.m., May the 26th, preached in a meadow, chased out of a meadow by a bull that was turned loose during the services. Now that's a pretty rough crowd out there, ain't it? Sunday a.m., June the 2nd, preached out at the edge of town, and I was kicked off the highway. But then that same day, Sunday evening, June the 2nd, in the afternoon service, he preached in a pasture, and 10,000 people came to hear him. 10,000 people. Because he didn't quit. He kept preaching. He kept doing what he knew to do. God had called him to preach. And he went and tried, but they wouldn't receive him. And finally came the breakthrough. If he would have stopped on May 26th, there would have been no Methodist denomination. You know, if we stop along the way of our journey, we're going to miss out on the desired results. That's why we just have to keep on keeping on no matter what. And how important determination is, because many times most of us have a vision, but vision is an illusion without determination. So what I see is each of us need to be determined. I want you to determine something today, that you're not going to turn back, that you're going to be faithful, you're going to up your inputs of what Jesus Christ, I mean, whether it be by prayer, reading the Bible, fellowshipping, maybe coming to grow groups and building relationships and trying to do your part to make other people stronger. When we help others, it helps us. Isn't that interesting? We think, help me, help me, help me, help me. But I found out when I help others, it helps me. And I get what I need. So we need to have that childlike faith, that flint-like faith, that determined faith that we're not going to turn back. Amen? Let's pray.